Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome back to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And this week, Bob, we are picking up where we left off last time when we talked about preparing for interviews. And today we're talking about actually conducting the interview.
That is correct, sir. It's the continuation. It's our two-part podcast series. So, yep.
Very good. Before we get there, we got some viewer mail that came in from Sean Fitzpatrick via iTunes, which was titled Great Fundamentals of Management. And Sean says, good overview of key issues, informative and easy to listen to. Great job, boys.
Ah, right on. It's wait until we start with our easy listening version of the podcast.
We do appreciate Sean taking the time to provide us some feedback on iTunes. You can do that there, or you can do that on our Facebook page. Reach out to us. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yeah, you betcha. And we'll get started on the Barry Manilow stuff shortly.
All right. What about today's agenda, Bob? How are we going to get through this topic?
Sure. Well, last week we talked about all the things you need to do to set yourself up well in an to conduct an interview, all the things you need to do in advance. So this week we're going to talk about what actually happens once you get into the room.
Okay. And and what we're hoping happens is a great interview.
Yeah. And a great interview, I'm going to argue, it's a mutually respectful conversation that determines the quality of the match between a candidate's skills and the competencies required for a specific position. Right?
Wow. So sounds like you spent some time on that definition, Bob.
It's not bad. Eh? It's pretty good.
Where'd you steal that from?
Well, it's again, in my mind, that's exactly what it is. It's two people having a conversation as equals, a mature conversation about, gee, is this a good fit for, you know, what are you looking for and what do I have to offer and how well do those things match up?
Yeah, and hopefully it does come off like a conversation rather than an interrogation.
Yeah, which would be my definition of a bad interview. And a bad interview, in my mind, is an inquisition. Right? That provides the illusion of power to the interviewer and a high level of anxiety to the candidate. And we've all seen these things before. In fact, we've probably all lived through at least one of these ridiculous interviews. Yeah. And the telltale sign of that one, I love this question. Tell me about your strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, if you're being interviewed by somebody that asks you that, then you need to walk out, right? It's, you know, and again, a lot of recruiters disagree. They think they learn a lot in that question. You don't actually. So what you should ask instead as a recruiter or a hiring manager is, okay, well, you've got some prepackaged lies now. Could you trot those out for me? Right?
I get the dramatic effect about walking out. Maybe stick around for question two and three. Just hope that it gets a whole lot better than that one.
Yes, I have overstated it. But interestingly, if you want to turn the tables, it's interesting to say, well, I'll tell you what my strengths and weaknesses are if you tell me the strengths and weaknesses of working for this company.
And you.
Yeah. So probably you're not going to get the job at that point, right? But anyway, I mean, if you're preparing to interview somebody, stay away from that question. It shows that you don't have any creativity or potentially any brain cells.
All right. Well, let's consider that we are, in fact, going to go through an actual interview. We haven't decided. Our candidate hasn't walked out on us.
Right. Okay.
How do we get this done?
Well, I mean, the first thing you need to do is have some sort of format in mind, again, that you should have made the candidate aware of before they walked into the room. But I'm going to suggest you very quickly do some introductions. You make sure everybody in the room knows everybody. Do you need a coffee? Do you need a water? All that, you know, just polite conversation, introduction stuff. Yeah. Explain the process, how long you're going to be in the room, what sort of questions you're going to ask and answer, their opportunity to ask questions back of you, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask your questions. Describe the job, right? And you may want to describe the job before you ask your questions. That's entirely up to you. Again, you need to leave time in the interview for them to ask questions, right? So if you're going to do the three people sitting on one side of the table and the other person sitting on the other side of the table like it's a parole hearing, right? And you're not going to give them the opportunity to ask any questions, you're doing it wrong.
Well, I mean, this is so important. I often, you know, not only do you need to make sure you leave that space in there for it, look at it as an opportunity to assess the candidate too. What kind of questions are they asking? Have they given some thought to this particular job, and what kinds of, and does their questioning reflect that? So giving them a chance to ask the questions, I find, really is a great way to assess their abilities as well.
Yeah, totally agree. And then finally, you want to end with, you know, give them some sort of idea what to expect next. Okay, well, we've got a couple other people we need to go see. We intend to make a decision by the end of this week and inform everybody of our decision by next week.
Cool.
Right? As opposed to, see ya.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you got to give them some ideas to what the next steps are after that, for
yep,
sure.
You betcha.
All right, so the interview goes and we get all our questions done. We've walked through each of those particular steps that you outline. What's next? We got to figure out who's who in the zoo. Which one are we going to pick?
Right. Okay. So again, there's a lot of overlap between this and what you need to do in advance. But again, you need to have some sort of ideas as to what skills are nice to have and what can be taught, right? So again, it's very rarely that a perfect candidate walks through your front door. So figure out, well, what are the absolute minimum requirements that I need for somebody to fill this position? And what are the things I'm prepared to teach a candidate? Right. And you need to be pretty flexible on that because, again, everybody, certainly in North America, Australia, New Zealand, it's not quite as bad in Europe, but everybody in these countries is either over 50 or under 30. Right. There's there's nobody in between. Right. There's very few people born in that space that puts them between 30 and 50 years old right now. So that being the case is that you're going to have to become a teacher in many of these things. So you need to, it would be nice if the perfect candidate walked off the street, but that rarely happens. Okay.
Right.
So where are you going to be comfortable with compromise? What's not negotiable? Right. And again, make sure that's not a real long list.
Yeah. Nice to haves versus must haves.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, use your intuition when you're interviewing. Intuition is a powerful tool, but if it's the only tool you use, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Right. Mm-hmm. So again, I always go in with 3 to 5, what I call killer questions. So you interview somebody for an hour, you have a really broad ranging conversation that looks different from candidate to candidate, but you ask each candidate 3 to 5 questions exactly the same way. You take very careful note of their responses and you score them on their ability to answer just those 3 to 5 questions.
Because they are linked back to the must-haves.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And from that, you score and rank that interview performance. So again, back at Wiley Manager website, I've put a scoring tool, an Excel scoring sheet that you can use to do that.
And that tool is actually really cool. So you can have those different assessments and you basically plunk in a score of 1 to 5 as to how each candidate responds to those killer questions, for example. And if you get, you know, if you're an Excel whiz, you can even weight those questions. So some questions are more important than others. If you have, even in your must-haves, you have the top must-have and then the nice-to-have must-haves.
Yeah. what you said. Yeah. No, that's exactly it, right? So all you got to do is say on a scale of 1 to 5, well, that guy was a 3, right?
Yeah.
And that woman was a 4, right? And so you plunk those into your spreadsheet, it pukes out a score for you at the other end. Now, it doesn't mean that you hire the person with the highest score. It means that you use those scores to double check your intuition as to who you thought was the best.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, and then let's talk a bit more about interview questions. You talked about that in terms of the interview format. Obviously, there's a space for you to ask questions. What do you have to share with us in terms of those questions?
Okay. Well, we talked in your interview prep about the need to have a good, solid job description for whatever vacancy you're hiring for. So make sure that the questions are based on the key needs identified in that job description, right?
Right.
And you want to be building understanding through those whole things, right? Used open and closed questions, right? So open questions are ones that have more than a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
Right. You know, have you ever done this? That's closed. That's great. Well, tell me more about that experience. Open.
Right. And what you just did there, the follow-up question is great. So you got your killer questions that you've written out.
Yep.
You don't ask the question, get an answer, and then move on to the very next question right away. It's the follow-up question is digging deeper into that answer, trying to probe for the little bits of information that were provided in their answer that gives you more in-depth into what they did and how they did it and what the results were.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. And we're going to suggest, too, that you use both situational and behavioral-based questions.
Well, maybe we should stop for a second and touch base so people understand what the difference is between a situational and a behavior-based question.
Right. Okay. So, and again, you can pick up a book at your favorite bookstore about all these things if you want more ideas around what they – but they're good questions to ask because it helps you, again, further your understanding of the candidate and what their experience is and how they would react in certain situations. So in a situational-based question, it's what would you do if this happened, right? Or you may even want to give them a scenario. Say, well, here's a scenario. You make them read it, right? And say, well, how would you handle this?
Yeah.
Right. So again, you're testing their judgment, right? Which is really hard to do in an interview. But if you throw situations in front of them, you can get some sort of idea. Another one would be, what would you do if you were given a project timeline that you knew you couldn't meet?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or what would you do if you had a direct conflict with another employee? These are just examples of again, you're painting scenarios or situations and trying to figure out how the person would react.
Right. So the situational is, you know, what would you do when confronted by these things? Whereas the behavioral question is more, okay, when this happened, what did you do?
Yeah. It's more about trying to probe into the person's individual history. So tell me about a specific time when this happened, right? Or tell me about a time you had to deal with a difficult customer. How did you handle it and what was the outcome, right? Describe a time when you had to sacrifice your own goals for the good of the team.
Yeah, right. The idea behind these questions is that how you responded in the past is probably a pretty good indicator about how you will respond in the future.
Right. And so a good somebody who's prepared themselves well for an interview will have some of these scenarios ready in mind to talk about. So as you rightly point out, you need to ask follow-up and probing questions. That's actually where you learn more is when you ask the follow-up question. to the canned, you've got the canned question. They've probably already rehearsed a canned response.
Yeah.
When you ask the follow-up questions, when you learn a bit more.
That's when you get the reality of the situation.
Yep.
So we're suggesting, you know, mix it up. Use situational and behavior-based questions. They both have some value to add to the process.
Yep. Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right.
And what about analyzing the responses? So you get answers from all these people. How do you determine a good answer from a crappy answer?
Well, again, I think we talked earlier about killer questions, and I think you write down what you want the response to that question to be based, again, not on your own preferences, but on the job description, right? So again, you score people on those things. But again, when you're analyzing, so that's your formal sort of scoring analysis, right? I would argue, again, you also need to do, you know, do you actually believe this person and what they're telling you, right?
Yeah.
What are they not telling you, right? And make sure you challenge them, not in a disrespectful way, of course, but, you know, you give them a little, well, tell me more about that. I would like to learn more about that, you know, that answer that you just gave, right? So don't be afraid to push a little further. And then when they, you know, when you do your debrief in the interview after, you can say, yeah, I'm not really sure I believe that person, you know, so.
Yeah. No, that's like relying a bit on your intuition, again, can tell you a little bit about what you perceived or what your spidey senses might be picking up during the interview.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right, then we got all that down. We you know, we're not doing a resume scoring our interview scoring at that period of time. We're trying to analyze some of the responses we're getting so that afterwards we can go take a more detailed look through their answers and provide some ratings or scores to them in the scoring tool that we provide.
Yep.
And then what's, I guess, in terms of bringing the interview to a close, though, before we get to that, how do you suggest we do that?
Well, I mean, do you have any more questions of us? We've just got, a few minutes left here. Do you have any other questions of us as an organization? And then again, as we mentioned earlier, we've got a couple more people we're going to see. We expect to make a decision within this time frame, and we'll follow up with you then. And then, of course, make sure you do those things, right?
Okay.
Make sure if you're really keen on the person, make sure you ask them to let them know if your circumstances change. Sometimes it takes us a month to between the time you interview and the time that you've got a final answer because you're trying to, you know, work out logistics of interviewing. You could say to somebody, well, you know, if you're considering other things, could you let us know? Right.
Yeah.
And make sure that you don't promise anything. I mean, maybe you're going to interview three people. And the first one you're really keen on, right? Which is good news. But don't promise anything until you've seen the other two, right?
I think you're our guy.
Yeah, we're pretty sure you're the one. And then you interview the next person and you go,
Oops.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we try and bring it to a close for today's podcast with three things.
One, two, three.
Sure. Okay. The first one is don't underestimate the importance of interviews and the risk of doing it badly. Okay. You do interviews badly, you can end up in legal trouble. You can certainly have reputation damage to your organization. And probably worst of all, you end up with the wrong person in the job, right? Mm-hmm. Once you got an employee in, it's hard to get them out, right? So take this stuff seriously. I mean, a lot of managers think it's a pain in the ass, which I suppose it is. But it's one that if you do well, will pay dividends. If you interview well, you're going to spend less time interviewing, ironically.
Number two,
think of it as establishing a good match between the competencies required and the profile of a candidate. Right back to where we started.
All right. And the third of the three things.
Well, it sort of ties them both together, right? Take the time to do them well. Again, it's an investment in getting it right. And again, the better you do interviews, the better your retention is going to be and the fewer people you're going to have to interview in the future.
And I remember back at the Wiley Manager website, we have all kinds of good tools for you to help expand your toolkit on this particular topic. So we got examples of good questions and bad questions back there. Some examples of these behavior and situational based questions that we talked about. We have lists of types of questions you can go scroll through and pick some of your favorite killer questions that are going to help you out in your situation. Some ideas of some of the common mistakes, how do you avoid those? And then this resume and interview scoring tool that Bob's been talking about, which is a really neat tool to help you assess some of the both resumes and the interviews that you're conducting.
You bet. And another news, Jed, we've got some related podcasts that might be of interest to people if you are into what we were talking about today. Just last week, we did one on preparing to interview. So that's all the stuff we talked about before this. We've also done a podcast on onboarding and the retention of employees.
Very cool. And for a limited time, still, we have some free management cheat sheets you can pick up off the website. So we took some of our most – each podcast we do comes along with a corresponding cheat sheet. And we've bundled some of our more popular cheat sheets into a little package, a nice, neat little package for you. You can go pick that off the website as well. And up next, Bob, as you mentioned, we did one on preparing for an interview last week. We did the interviewing one this week. Next up is attribution theory. We got one coming up on scatter diagrams and the triangle of satisfaction as well.
That could mean anything. Well, I can hardly wait to learn about that one. So.
Tune in to find out.
All right, Jed. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Bob.